We hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Steve Kelly and Wave Church. We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching, and we believe that it will enrich and empower your life.
Today I want to talk to you. On last Sunday I talked about God's kindness. Stay with me, stay standing, because we're going to pray. I talked about God's kindness, but I read a scripture that I want to continue on that I read last week, and it says that God is kind, but he's not soft. And we're going to look at that today. Is that okay? So it's going to be a kind message, but it won't be soft. Is that okay? Because I think sometimes it's actually really good to look at scripture and how God reveals himself, and it's going to be a fun morning. You ready for it? Seaboard, you ready for it? Online, everybody watching all over the world. Here we go. Fathers, we come around your word. I ask you again, help me, Lord, to communicate your heart, your spirit. Lord, I pray today that people will find you as Lord and Savior in the Word. I thank you, Lord, today that our lives will be enriched from hearing the Word. And everybody said, come on, everybody said, amen. You can be seated. Be praying for Josh Kelly, our son who runs this campus. He actually was in the hospital last night till 2 o'clock with another bad migraine. And so he's up this morning. Praise God. He's recovering. He's having a smoothie as we speak. I got a text. A smoothie as we speak. Makes me just want to have a smoothie right now. And so seriously, be praying for him because, you know, these things just keep reoccurring. So thank you for the people who are praying. So many people, when I mention that, will say, hey, there's this. Appreciate all that help and advice. But really, we just want answered prayers in Jesus' name. Amen? All right. Turn in your Bibles. I want to show you a scripture. I just actually don't know if the team have this ready or not. Do they have it ready? The first scripture I want to read is out of Romans chapter 11. And I want to show you a verse that I only found between services. Okay? It's a verse in the Bible that really backs up this thought about God's kindness, and yet he's not soft. And this is from the New Living Translation. Have a look at this. It says, notice how God is both kind, look at this, and severe. He is severe toward those who disobeyed, but kind if you continue to trust in his kindness. But if you stop trusting, and what are you trusting in? You're trusting in his kindness. It says, you will be cut off. I thought, man, that's an interesting scripture, isn't it? God's kind and he's severe. He's kind to those who trust in his kindness, but if you disobey, I love that, and you stop trusting in his kindness, you will be cut off. I thought that's a compelling scripture. Romans chapter 2, verse 3. You didn't think, did you? This is the Message translation. Those who know me know I usually preach out of the NIV, but every now and again, I like to look at different translations to see what it says, and the Message is one that I think is really, really good to look at occasionally. You didn't think, did you, that just by pointing your finger at others, you would distract God from seeing all your misdoings and from whom is coming down hard on you or coming down on you hard? Or did you think that because he's such a nice God, he'll let you off the hook? Better think this one through from the beginning. God is kind, but he's not soft. And in his kindness, he firmly takes us by the hand and leads us into a radical life change. How many can relate to God firmly taking you by the hand in his kindness? Who's ever had God's hand be firm and say to you, now I love you, but you're not getting away with that? Anybody know what I'm talking about? If you don't, keep living. Praise the Lord. So I want to show you, maybe just bear this out. The last several weeks in my own personal devotional time, I've been in the book of Philippians. And I think sometimes it's good to remind ourselves that actually we all think the Apostle Paul wrote this, and he did. But it's good to remind yourself who inspired him to write it. Who wanted this to be written? Was God himself. And it's in the Bible because this is the word of the Lord, given to the Apostle Paul so that we in 2019 in 1000 North Great Neck Road could actually hear the word of God and discover what God wants to say to you and I today. So Philippians 3, I think, is a really strong chapter. And I think it's actually one of those chapters that talks about God is kind, but he's not soft. He will firmly take us by the hand. So have a look at this. Come here, you're going to like this. Furthermore, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again. Here's Paul going, I got no problem repeating myself. And if I'm repeating myself, it's because you're still not listening. How many of you ever said to your kids, how many times do I have to tell you? You know, do your homework, put out the trash. And you go, and then obviously not as many as you're gonna have to say it more than you have. Amen. And here's the Apostle Paul. Remember now, this is God going, I got no problem repeating myself. I will say the same thing over and over because we tend to forget things, don't we? I never forget anything I remember. That's a gift right there. You should write that down. Praise the Lord. That's worth coming to church for, just that alone. I never forget anything I remember. And it says, and watch what he says. It's a safeguard to you. In other words, this is going to help you. This is for your good that I'm repeating myself. Watch out for those dogs, evildoers, mutilators of the flesh. I mean, this is strong. I mean, the Bible here, God is called telling us there's some people who act like dogs. Now, in today's world, of course, in Disney and animation and everything, we actually have really humanized animals. We've given them names and personalities. And, you know, sometimes I think we've also animalized humans. You with me here? So in today's Disney world, you know, you kind of think about, you know, what's wrong with the dog? But it's interesting how the Bible talks about dogs in Scripture. And it's in the sense of, you know, it's like, it's never in a positive light about a dog. It's like the places they turn up is licking up the blood of people who were, you know, killed in a street, and the dogs lick up the blood, or, you know, a dog returns to its own vomit, or, you know, and so God's not against dogs. He's just showing subhuman behavior. You with me here? And that's what he's trying to do. Let's actually live like human beings here. And he goes, watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. For we are of the circumcision who serve God by his Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus. And we put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have many reasons to put my confidence in the flesh. If someone thinks they have reasons to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, and as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. Here Paul saying, you think all these people, these evildoers, these dogs who get their confidence in their flesh, who get their sense of, you know, their righteousness by their works. And he goes, for everything that they might claim of themselves, I can claim better. And yet I put no confidence in any of these things. He says, but if you're going to hold just, he goes, I was Top Gun. Paul, I was a Pharisee of Pharisees, a Hebrew of Hebrews. He goes, I had the best schooling, the best training, the best tribe, the best heritage. Nobody could hold a candle to me, the Apostle Paul said. And yet I get no confidence in any of those things. He goes on and says, if somebody think they have confidence, I the more. But whatever were gains to me, he says in verse 7, I now consider loss. We're going to look at that. For the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. I consider them garbage. Put the trash out. Thank you for that great response. That I may gain Christ and be found in him, and having a righteousness, this is, and not having a righteousness of my own, but that which comes by the faith and from the law. And it says, through Christ Jesus. And it says, I love this in verse 10, I want to know Christ. Yes, the power of his resurrection. Who could say amen to that? I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Okay, who's ever said, God, I want to know you. I want to know the power of your resurrection. There's moments when that becomes very real. When we lose a loved one, we suddenly regain an appreciation for the resurrection. Knowing that this person has gone from this temporal world into the eternal world, and knowing that because Christ died for all of us and rose again from the dead, that we too will rise again. And never is that more encouraging to a person when the reality of death happens, because we know there's a life after death. It's resurrection. And not only is that a reality, but the moment you gave your life to Jesus, you died to the old nature, and there was a resurrection of life because Christ died for your sins and rose again from the dead. We've been resurrected, and we've got resurrection life. Wow! But how many have prayed the very next thing it says? And the participation in his sufferings. I mean, how many have prayed that prayer? I haven't. Oh God, I want to know your power and the power of the resurrected Christ. And I want to know and participate in your sufferings. That's not a prayer I've prayed, to be honest. But here's Paul talking to us. And I love what he says as we go on and read this. And it says, everybody say, power of resurrection. I got you to say that because I'm trying to find my place. And it says here in verse 12, not that I've already obtained all this, I'm not there yet, he says, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take a hold for which Christ took a hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But this one thing I do, I love it, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has absolutely apprehended me. Amen. I love that, don't you? I press on. This one thing I do, I walk toward the prize that is in Christ Jesus, that is heavenward and upward. So let's have a look at this, because here of just these few verses, we're going to look at a couple of them. Is that okay? God is kind, but he's not soft. He loves you just the way you are, but he loves you enough not to leave you there. Amen. So, all right, God's kind. He loves you. You got a bad temper. You got some habits you need to get rid of. He loves you, but he's not going to leave you there. As a pastor, when I'm preaching the word of God, I love to preach the word of God, but I don't want to preach to please man. I want to make sure that when I'm preaching, the preaching is, you know, I've always said, if your church isn't changing you, you should change your church. There ought to be change. There ought to be transformation. There ought to be progress. There ought to be some moments where it just gets a little uncomfortable. Amen? Oh, yeah, okay, thank you for that. That's some of you, it's like, okay. We've come to comfort the disturbed. There's no doubt about that. But we're also here to disturb the comfortable. So here's a few thoughts. Number one, God's kind, he's not soft. Repetition. Paul says, I'm going to say the same thing. I'm going to keep on saying it. I'm going to keep on repeating myself. And I love this thought because it says, furthermore, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord, for it is no trouble. I don't even think it's a problem for me to write to you about the same thing. I got no problem preaching the same sermon twice if you didn't listen the first time. It's like one preacher one Sunday preached this message. It was a good message. And then he got the next Sunday and he preached the exact same message. And everybody went, gee, was this an Alzheimer's moment with this guy? What's going on? He's preaching the same. And he got up the next Sunday and he preached the same message. So finally, a few of the pastors and the elders of the church got up with him and said, hey, we don't know, Pastor, if you know this, but, you know, the church is talking. You've preached the same message 3 weeks in a row. He says, yeah, I'll preach a new one when they start doing it. I kind of think, well, Archie. Paul said, I got no trouble. No, it's not a trouble at all. I just keep saying it until we get you there. Because it's not Paul. It's God inspiring Paul. God saying, come on, you need to hear things over and over to remind yourself because we forget things. That's the whole idea of what a well is when the Bible says you got to redig the well. Because sometimes the well gets full of earth and dirt and worldliness and you lose the source of life and water. So you got to redig the wells. You got to go back and make sure that that place of water, which is the word of God, is something that's fresh. And you got to go back to the well and you got to keep the well clean of any worldliness and contamination. You got to redig the well. Sometimes you got to read the same Bible verse over and over and over again. You got to listen to the same things. So I thought, what wells would we might need to redig? Well, here's a well that I think in today's culture that we need to redig, church being a priority. And now you're here today, so church is a priority today, but where were you last Sunday? And is church really, is that a well that needs to be redug in our lives? Or do we allow worldly things to actually crowd church out where crowd no longer even is a priority? It's not first in our heart. Here's another one, righteousness versus compromise. See, sometimes if we're not careful, we can actually have this idea of cultural holiness rather than biblical wholeness. I think there's some things that the church ought to stand up for and rebuke that's in the world that's accepted as normal in culture. I have never, I will never condone what is happening in the state of Virginia, which actually somehow has got lost with all the other confusions about full-term abortion. It is wrong. And somehow we live in a world where that whole thing's lost. And that whole story is no longer the story. And I love the fact that it became a story and there was a pushback on it because we just need to remind ourselves of some truths. Amen. All right, what about this one? Giving and generosity. There's some things we need to remind ourselves. When was the last time you did something for the first time? When was the last time you just did something that was kind and generous? For no other reason. Sometimes being kind is just saying nothing. Like yesterday at a certain place, we had lunch where we took a few of the guys and we went to a certain place to eat. And we actually honestly thought that there was a camera somewhere. We were being punked because of the rudeness of the waitress, praise the Lord. I won't say where, I won't say who, but it was hilarious to say the least. And the only way I knew to be kind was just say nothing. Because I knew if I said anything, it would only escalate this poor frustrated waitress who probably was having a bad day, and anybody's allowed to have a bad day in Jesus' name. Amen? So here's what God says. You got to keep reminding the children of Israel. Let me show you what happens when you don't remind. This is dangerous because our church, Wave Church, the church, is but one generation away from being extinct. Are you hearing me? If we're not reminding our children about the word of God, the wells of God, we can look just like the world, act just like the world, speak just like the world, and lose our excellence and righteousness, and there's no difference between us and the world. It says here in Judges, chapter 2. Watch that. This is a scary verse. It's probably one of the scariest verses in the Bible. It says, the people served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua. Now that tells me, as long as a leader is leading, people will follow. Look at it. It says, the people served the Lord throughout the lifetime. As long as there's a leader helping people, reminding people, instructing people, encouraging people, the power of leadership. It is often in today's world something that isn't celebrated or honored like it should be. And it says, and the elders who outlived him, who had seen all the great things that the Lord had done for Israel. How many know Joshua's got some stories? Are you hearing me? Can you imagine? Like, you know, just, hey, Joshua, tell us again when you marched around Jericho. Hey, Joshua, tell us again when you were Moses and he went up into the mountain and he came back glowing. Tell us again about him right coming back carrying the Ten Commandments. Joshua, tell us again about going through the Red Sea and all of Pharaoh's Egyptian army got wiped out. Can you imagine it? These are the things. Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110, and they buried him in the land of his inheritance. Verse 10, after the whole generation that had been gathered, watch this, to their ancestors, another generation grew up who neither knew the Lord of what the Lord had done. We got to make sure we pass on our faith to another generation. We got to make sure that this church doesn't just cater to the people who are saved. We got to make sure that there are unchurched people coming into the doors of this church. Sometimes people might think, man, the music's loud or something. It's not for you. Are you hearing me? It's for them. It's for another generation. Now, right now, one of our granddaughters, her name's Lennon, and she's about, I think, 15 months old. She doesn't yet say a lot of words. She calls me Bipper. I'm supposed to be Skipper, but I'm Bipper. And so she can't talk a whole lot. She can say Shazzy, and that's a mum and dad, and that's about it. But one of the things she loves, now I don't like all the music that my granddaughter likes, but I sure love how happy it makes her. Are you hearing me? In our house, we've got Alexa, and she knows that she'll walk over to the Alexa machine and she'll go, Bippa, and she points at Alexa because she wants me to say the words that will cause that machine to play her favorite song. Do you know what her favorite song is? Baby Shark. Baby Shark. Dum, boom, dum, 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 Baby Shark. And so do you know what happens? I keep telling Alexa to play Baby Shark to the point where that song drives me insane. But I watch what it does for her. And when we come into church, we got to make sure we're reaching the generations to come. Come on, somebody say amen. So, I mean, let me help you this thought. I'm just working on this thought of reminding us, remembering, going back. And one of the things God did in the Old Testament, he had the Ark of the Covenant. And that's where people would go to actually get and hear from God. That's how God spoke to his people. You with me on this? It was God, how God spoke, for the priest would come in once a year, the Ark of the Covenant. It represents the presence of God. And sometimes one of the things we need to do is not get so busy just living life, and we can say prayers over our food. We can say prayers of a nighttime. But when was the last time in prayer you encountered the presence of God? Amen? So we got to remember, it's not just, you know, going through the motions. It's keeping this thing real and reminding ourselves, God is alive. God is for you. God is with you. Amen. The presence of God. We got to be aware of the presence of God. And then inside the ark, there's three things. I think these are fascinating. The first thing that's inside the ark are the Ten Commandments. I think it's really good to sometimes remind ourselves what those are, so that we don't become like the world. We actually understand this is God's word, God's wisdom, and we live by those Ten Commandments. Who can say amen to that? Then there's another thought of what's inside the... And by the way, those Ten Commandments really speak to us about the requirements of worship and of conduct. Worship, you shall love the Lord your God. No one will be for him. Your worship and your devotion is first and foremost to him. And then your conduct, like thou shalt not kill. That doesn't mean people in the military are killing anybody. You have me here? Because kill, in the sense of the word kill there, is premeditated murder that actually is undeserved and unjust. You have me here? Versus fighting for the freedom of your nation to keep people safe, that's not killing. Do you see the difference? And so inside that, there's the Ten Commandments. And secondly, there's Aaron's rod. And you ever thought about this? I want to remind you. I'm just, God's kind, but he's not soft. Sometimes we forget these things. You ever thought about why Aaron's rod would be in the Ark of the Covenant? Something that he'd want us to go back to look at, to consider, and to actually allow it to speak to us today in 2019. Is because Aaron's rod, listen to this, represented a lot of things. Aaron's rod, when the Pharaoh's magicians threw their rods on the ground and they became serpents, it was Aaron's rod that was thrown onto the ground that devoured the magician serpents. So that tells me, sometimes when we get overwhelmed with how we feel like all hell is against us and we feel like the devil's getting the better of us, we need to remember we've got power over the enemy in Jesus' name. Somebody needs to hear that today. You've got power over that cancer. You've got power over that poverty. You've got power over your enemy. I'm getting so excited I can't talk. Aaron's rod speaks to us and constantly reminds us that we have superior power over the enemy. Aaron's rod speaks to us about this mantle of leadership. It was that rod that led Pharaoh to finally let God's people go. How did it do that? Well, think about this. It was Aaron's rod that turned the Nile River into blood. It was Aaron's rod that brought the plague of frogs. It was Aaron's rod, listen, it was Aaron's rod that terrorized the enemy. Not for us to be terrorized by the enemy, but we've got this God who is with us that will lead us and give us victory over the enemy. Aaron's rod, to me, represents leadership. It represents this healing in the desert. If you read your Bible, you'll know what that story is about. Amen. And the third thing that's in the Ark of the Covenant, just a reminder, is manna. What does that speak to you and I today about? That God will provide for you daily. That God, he says, give us this day our daily bread. Manna came down from heaven every day. God provides provision. Don't sweat it. God's got your back. God's kind, but he's not soft. He loves you just the way you are, but he won't leave you there. He'll keep leading you. And here's the thought. Listen to this. Manna is provision. It's supernatural in Jesus' name. Amen? But here's that's just the first thought. Let me give you the second. The second thought is simply this. Beware of the dogs. And isn't it interesting that God would refer to people who are behaving poorly as a dog-like behavior? Now, if you've got a dog, this is God's not against your dog. Are you hearing me? Let's separate them. It says, watch out for the dogs, those evildoers. And I was thinking about this. What does God call a dog in Scripture? Well, number one, he calls a backslider dog-like behavior. It says here in 2 Peter 2, verse 22, as it happened to them, according to a true proverb, a dog returns to its own vomit. That's a pretty vulgar picture. That's enough to make you want to gag right now, isn't it? You ever seen a dog do that? He got sick and then he goes back. I don't know about you, but sometimes when they go back and eat it, I'm kind of relieved because then I don't have to clean it up. But you can't look. You're just like, you know. And as repulsive as that picture is someone who knew the things of God and chose to go back to it. Anyone who does not appreciate what God has given them is dog-like behavior. Look what the Bible says in Matthew 7, verse 6. Don't give dogs what is holy or what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls before pigs. And if you do, watch this, they will trample them under their feet and they will turn and tear you to pieces. Don't cast your pearls before swine. Don't give things to people who don't appreciate what's been given to them. It's dog-like behavior. Here's another one. I told you this is like God is kind, but he's not soft. Are we all okay? Okay, here's another one. People who are ungodly. It says in Matthew 15, verse 26, and he answered them and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to dogs. But yes, she said, yes, Lord, even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Now here, you got to understand the context in which this is being written. Here is a woman who was not a Jewish woman coming to Jesus, a rabbi, the healer, the Son of God, and everything of Old Testament Scripture, which is all changing right now with Jesus being here, they just don't realize it's all changing. And Jesus wants to prove it's going to change by calling her a dog because you're a Gentile. It's not right to feed the dogs. And she goes, yes, but even the dogs get to eat the crumbs. He was trying to show it's a new day. I'm not calling her a dog. Are you hearing me? But what I love about this is it's saying, you know, people who are ungodly, God calls dog-like behavior. I did a bit of research on dogs, and I thought, what does this word dog mean when God uses it in the context of what we're looking at today? And how does it look in Scripture? This is the meaning. A dog is referred to in Scripture as an obstinate sinner, someone who is fond of blood, and someone who is unclean, a Gentile, in other words. There's nothing holy in them. And there's nothing that is holy should ever be given to them. Are you hearing me? Dogs are something that are unconsecrated. They are fools. Another example in Scripture of this word dog is false teachers. Matter of fact, dogs are considered by God as unfaithful ministers who are dangerous and destructive. God calls unfaithful ministers dogs. Dog-like behavior. All bark. You with me here? Barking at everybody else and yet not taking a good look at themselves. God calls it dog-like behavior. Matter of fact, look what it says in Isaiah 56, verse 10. His watchmen are blind, speaking about the leaders. And all of them know nothing. All of them are mute dogs, unable to bark. Dreamers lying down who love slumber. I just love the word of God, don't you? And what I love about the Word of God is God has got no problem with dogs. He's going, let's make sure we live like human beings. Let's be people who appreciate what God's given us. Amen. Let's be people who actually don't live below our potential. And as every one of us today are ministers, how many believe we're all ministers today? Three people. Okay, God's anointed you to do whatever it is that you do. If you work for NASA, God has anointed you to work for NASA. If you work at the checkout at Harris Teeter, God has anointed you to work in that place, to bring God into that environment. There's a much anointing available to you. Is there any preacher on any stage doing any healing crusade? God's power is with you. We are all ministers of a new covenant. Amen. We are all here to represent God. God is kind, but He's not soft. I don't have time to talk about my third point. As legalistic Christians, God finds that repulsive. Who can say amen to that? People who forget they were too have been saved by grace. So how about you show some grace for some other people? Their story's not over yet in Jesus' name. So I just want to encourage us here, because it says, Paul says, I need to put out the trash. I consider it but garbage. Everything that I've gained, Paul says, listen to this, I count as loss. That's not to say God is not for you gaining and having things in your life, but what he is saying is you've got to have it in the right perspective. Everything that's of gain to you, you need to consider it but as loss for the excellency of knowing Christ. If anything that just advantages you and you don't consider it in your concept as a loss for knowing Christ, he goes, has too much hold on you. I'll give you an example. I'm trying to think about this in a practical way. Let's just say, you know, Wototo comes to town and we got all these beautiful young people that are looking for a place to stay. And we would then say, hey, you know, they want to be billeted. They don't want to put them in hotels, which is totally understandable. So then we start picking up the phone and saying, hey, would you please have some children that would stay for a couple of nights, and would you help us with that? Oh, I don't want them in my house. I don't have time for that. That means your house is more important to you, and that's where you got to count your house as loss. If it gets in the way of actually letting, God gave you the house. Amen. Well, let's just say, you know, opening your home up for community group. Well, I'm a bit of a neat freak and I don't like people coming in and actually wrecking my home. That means you have things and those things have you. Nothing wrong with having things so long as they don't have you. It's just that in your heart, you consider everything you've gained as loss if it gets in the way of the purposes of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, can you pick somebody up for church? You know what? It's kind of out of the way. I'd have to leave 5 minutes earlier. You with me? Would you open your home for a community group? Oh, that's really inconvenient. Well, that's something you need to consider as a loss, because you're losing. And that thing has more of a hold on you. So you got to learn how to put out the trash. Paul says, I count it. I want you to hear this. And I'm going to give it to you how the Bible actually said it. I count it as crap. Now, that's what it said before the King James was written. But when the King James was rewriting the Word of God, they put all this pure language to it, thinking that was inappropriate. And actually, it says dung. Actually, dog doo-doo. In other words, when your house has a hold of you that you can't make your home available. Now, if you can't genuinely do it because it's full and you've got no room, that's a different story. But if you have the means and the house and the blessing of God to have a house that you wouldn't let someone come and stay for a night or two, then you need to know, in the eyes of God, that's trash. Okay, we'll just, yeah, okay. I just thought. And by the way, I'm actually not saying that because someone's refused to have those Wototo kids, but I've heard over 35 years, every reason in the world why people can't do certain things to show hospitality, to show generosity, and why I couldn't let my car be available. No, you'll put miles on my car. I don't want miles on my car. That's dung. It's there to serve the purposes of God. We're blessed to be a blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Sharon and I went to Australia for many years ago for probably several weeks, and I found out there was a military family that were in between houses. I didn't even hesitate. I said, stay in our house. And then when we got back, they still weren't quite done in their transition of going to the house. I said, well, we'll be back and you stay with us. Why wouldn't you do that? Why wouldn't you do it? Well, my house is so much, I need my privacy. That's what Paul's talking about. That's rubbish. Put out the rubbish. Do you receive the word? Come on, give a Lord a hand. Just some reminders. Just some reminders. Just some reminders. Come on, why don't you do something generous today for somebody? Why don't you take someone to lunch? Did you take a hold of the challenge of showing kindness to someone this week? Did you take a hold of that word last week of doing not just a random act of kindness, but an intentional act of kindness? Did you reach out to somebody? Did you encourage somebody? And here I am now this week saying, come on, let's remember everything we have is from the Lord. Let's not have it where it's having us. Let's make sure we're using all that God's given us for His purpose. Let's remind ourselves that everything we have is from Him and God is good. And anything we hold too tightly is dung in Jesus' name. How do you like my new piece of dung? I just paid $30,000 for it. I get 20 miles per gallon. That's the nicest piece of dung I've ever seen. Yet the truth is, that's exactly how he. How do you like my new dung do? Well, let me show what that looks like. If you spend more money on a haircut over 12 months than you do giving to God, it's dung. Amen. The Christian church in the United States spends more money on dog food than it does given to mission. More money on dog food. Think about where dog food ultimately ends up. Dung. And yet we do more for that than we do for the work of the Lord and the mission. I think to myself, come on, we need some reminders here. Oh, I'm preaching better than you're listening. Praise, I'll finish, I'm stopped. Okay, that's enough, I can tell. All right, here we go. So this is what I wanna do. And we're talking to everybody online. I actually had a word of knowledge for somebody in our military who was watching in our first service. And you know, I kind of feel like there's somebody even in this service watching online, and I believe God is reaching out to you. And I just wanna say to you, listen, God, it's God's kindness that leads us to repentance. Amen. But He loves us enough to bring to our awareness our need of Him, our need of a Savior. We can't save ourselves. You can try and fill your life with all the dung you want to fill your life with, and you can have a lot of money in your dung. You with me here? But if you don't know Him, and that's what Paul says, that I might know Him. Identify with His death, that He died for my sins, and He went to hell, and He went to the grave, and He rose again from the dead because of my sins. I want to know Him, and I want to know the power of His resurrection. So I've got scars on my hands. I got probably, I think about, I counted them, I think there's like 30 or something. I used to be a boxer and I used to be a bit of a scrapper before I was a Christian. And I would find myself many times in fights. And over those many fights, you get some scars on your hands from fighting. And a scar on you, I'm told, is dead flesh. A scar has no feeling. It's where the flesh has died, it's healed up. And the Bible says we're to crucify our flesh. So if your flesh is screaming, it ain't dead. If your flesh is feeling, means you haven't killed it yet. The Bible says we're to crucify our flesh. Don't trust the human nature. It is deceitful. Amen? Look at me. We all need a Savior. We all need Jesus. No matter how rich you are, no matter how poor you are, no matter how prominent you are, no matter how obscure you are, doesn't matter what color you are, what age you are. Doesn't matter even where you come from, whether your parents went to church or whether even you go to church. We all need Jesus. Amen. The president needs Jesus. Come on. The Pope needs Jesus. Pastors need Jesus. Drug addicts need Jesus. Strippers need Jesus. Prostitutes need Jesus. Come on, somebody. drug dealers need Jesus. The police need Jesus. The firemen need Jesus. Military need Jesus. The strongest man in the world needs Jesus. The smartest man in the world needs Jesus. The greatest scientist needs Jesus. I don't care who you are, where you are, what you come from, we need Jesus. Come on, everybody, get on your feet if you believe it. Come on, get on your feet if you believe it. While you're standing, let's let the faith level stay high for a moment. If you say, Steve, pray for me, I do not know Jesus as you speak of. Steve, pray for me. I'm like that one that once knew God, but I've gone back to my old ways. And yet today I realize I need Jesus. I'm believing today many people are going to find Him as Lord and Savior. Are you believing with me, church? Oh, come on, are you believing with me? People right here, right now, online. I want to pray for you all over the building. I want everybody just for a moment to close your eyes and bow your heads. And I want you, if you say, Steve, pray for me. Steve, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to know God. Steve, I need to get right with God. I want you to do something. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. We're already standing. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front, but I am going to ask you one thing. Just where you're standing, would you just raise your hand high enough and long enough for me to see it? I'll know who to pray for then, because I want to pray for you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Come on, keep lifting your hand. God bless you. God bless you. Come on, keep lifting your hand. Where are you today? Say, Steve, pray for me. God bless you. 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 Come on, who else? God bless you. Come on, church. People need Jesus. Amen. Amen. Look at me. Look at me. If you went to Walmart, you'd expect things that Walmart had for sale are in Walmart. You're in church, and God help us if people come to church and they don't meet Jesus. Come on, that's who we represent. Let's all pray this prayer. Everybody online, you're making a decision as well. Come on, let's all pray this prayer. Let's pray with those who lifted their hand. Can we pray it out loud? Say, Lord Jesus, I ask you today to come into my life, to forgive me of my sins. I receive you now as my Lord and Savior. I am now a Christian. You now live in me. In Jesus' name.
We hope you enjoyed this message by Pastor Steve Kelly. You can find more resources by Pastor Steve at stevekelly.tv and wavechurch.com.